at Hickory High. And you've, from what I got here in the email from you a few days ago, you actually are starting a series of this. We're going to meet different employees at different schools, and you've kind of got a theme there. Good morning, Beverly Snowden.
Good morning, and thank you for having us. I'm so excited to be here. It's crisp outside this morning, dark and cold. I love it. Fall feels like it's finally here. But yes, this is a series, just a three-part series for October, November, and December. So today we're going to introduce you to a new employee with Hickory Public Schools, not new to the world of education, but certainly new to us. And then next month it will be a middle school educator, and then December it will be an elementary school educator. Just a three-part series of folks who chose to come to Hickory Public Schools and what they're enjoying, what they're doing, and their love for teaching children and working with kids. So today, Tamir Leach is with us, but he goes by Torres. So if you ever need to contact him, Mr. Leach, Torres is his nickname, and he is a counselor at Hickory High School. We are so excited that he has chosen to join us. The opening came up after school had already started. We had this opening to counsel, and I think it's by certain letters. Am I right, Torres?
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
What letters do you have?
I am currently M through Q.
M through Q by last name.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and so this
opening. So these are the folks who are counseled by you are M through Q. So the last name was, I don't know, Miller.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Then he would have a young Mr. Miller.
Gotcha.
So Torres found out about this opening, and they went through the whole interview process, and we're just so blessed to have him on staff. And he is so excited and bringing so much to the table, which he's going to share about you, his experience. He's not new to education, but let me tell you, he's from Kings Mountain, North Carolina. He went to Kings Mountain High School, and then he went to Appalachian State University, not only for his undergrad in psychology, where he got his Bachelor of Science, but also his Master of Arts in school counseling, and he's also certified in addiction counseling. And his hobbies are so interesting. He loves to read, and you're going to have to ask him about his favorite book. Boy, this I just found out this morning. This is really cool. He likes to color. He loves to coach any sport. He loves to work out and hike, and he plays any sport, but he loves to bowl. And he's been bowling since he was just a little tiny, tiny boy. And, of course, he was a former student athlete at Appalachian State University. He played football, was a wide receiver, a former assistant coach at East Lincoln High when they were state champions in 2014. And in a previous position, he was nominated for Counselor of the Year four consecutive years in a row. So everybody who's listening, we have got Torres Leach on staff at Hickory High. We are so excited to introduce him to you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Snowden. Mr. Leach, nice to meet you, sir.
Yes, sir. Very nice.
I got to ask you, anybody who's a bowler, you ever bowled a 300?
No, sir. I have not. My highest game is about a 190.
Really? That's
yes,
pretty,
sir.
That's pretty darn good.
Yes, sir.
But, yeah, that's one of those things that it's almost like a hole-in-one in golf. It's so rare, but you always like to ask people who are bowlers if they've ever, because a lot of people have attained that.
Absolutely.
And now, since Beverly said we got to ask, before we get out of time this morning, your favorite book is?
My favorite book is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel.
I'm not familiar with it.
Well, the book pretty much forces us to slow ourselves down.
Right.
And the book basically states that if you follow these four agreements or these four principles, the first principle is keep an impeccable word. The second one is don't take anything personal. The third one is don't make any assumptions. And the fourth one is always do your best. And it says that if you do these four things on a day-to-day basis, you are more apt to have a successful day, which will lead to successful strings of days.
Very good. So one day at a time. If you do
Absolutely
these things,
right.
Now, did you find out about this in high school, college? Where did you come
no,
across
I
this book?
No, I actually ran across this book about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
I was just doing some soul searching, and I was looking for some things that I could pick up and read that would also help me,
right,
but would help others.
Oh,
and that's
very nice.
And that's how I came up on it.
Yeah, we were talking before we came on the air, Kings Mountain, got some Plunks, got some Moonies, all those folks down there.
Absolutely.
We knew some of the same last
yes,
names down there in Kings Mountain. So you haven't traveled too far away
right.
from your old stomping ground. What was the thing that maybe helped you make up your mind? mind to go into education, and specifically counseling? Was there a counselor, or was there some aha moment for you that you said, this is something I'd like to do?
Yes. Actually, there were two moments, well, two people. In the seventh grade, I had a language arts teacher. Her name was Ms. Jewel Kendrick. And she would always ask me if I was the solution or if I was the problem.
How about that?
And I would always look
at
this lady.
That's interesting, yeah.
And like, what are you talking about? Am I the solution or am I the problem? I'm just trying to go eat lunch.
Right.
And when I graduated from high school, that teacher tapped me on my shoulder on May the 18th of 2000, and she asked me if I was a solution or if I was a problem for the umpteenth time. And I finally understood what she was trying to get me to see. And I smiled at her and I told her that I was officially the solution and no longer the problem. And she gave me the biggest hug, and I have not seen her since.
How nice.
Absolutely. And the second lady was Miss Diana Bridges. She was my high school counselor. She also had the opportunity to coach me, and she was also a family friend. I went to school with her sons and played sports with her sons.
Right.
So she stayed on top of me. She was like a mom inside the building. And when I went off to graduate school and everything, when I needed to enter, internship, I called back home to Cleveland County, and Miss Diana Bridges was HR at the time.
How about that?
And so I reconnected with her, and it was just a beautiful moment. And she has been one of my contributing factors to me becoming a school counselor.
I think that's wonderful. That's just a great story.
Absolutely.
Sir. When we're talking about school counselors, I can't imagine what you hear day in and day out. Mm. But when you're one of the things that I was going to talk with you about this morning, we talked about it briefly before we came on the air. Are youngsters forthcoming? Because oftentimes mom and dad may see behavior changes in children or their youngsters, and they say, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. And the first words out of their mouth, nothing. What's going on with you? Nothing. I could tell you're hurting. Everything's fine. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes they'll hear that. But you're telling me that maybe since they have you, you're a little bit younger maybe than mom and dad. Maybe you can relate a little bit more. You have a nice, safe place mm-hmm. that people can talk with you one-on-one. Do you find that they're forthcoming and actually want to talk to somebody? Maybe not mom and dad?
I will say, for majority of my experience, it comes down to the relationship building part.
Okay.
And once you build that piece, I think then those students will come forward with so much info. Some you want to know and some you don't, but
right.
you are glad and you're grateful that they come to you or whoever else there is in the building with that information so that we can help them in any possible way that we can.
You're trained in addiction counseling as
yes,
well.
Sir.
Do you find that there was a point in education, well, just in society, where drugs and alcohol were just prevalent, and that was one of the things that people were taking a look at and saying, wow, if we could just get this drug problem taken care of, if we could get this alcohol, and another that those are symptoms simply of other deeper lying problems. But do you still see that people are having, young folks are having difficulty with alcohol and drugs now in the school system?
Absolutely. You know, and it's a very unfortunate thing, but it is very prevalent still. And I think now kids are more open about, you know, the substances that they may or may not be using. Now it's not a hush-hush thing. Now it's more of a, hey, I'm coming to school and I might have had a sip of dad's booze or whatever the case may be.
So I guess one of the things is you want to be able to talk to them about that and let them know that not only unacceptable behavior for being, you know, in school, but also maybe try to help them because of your history with addiction counseling.
Absolutely.
Is that maybe you're able to get them some help and help them go in the right direction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. One of the things that I try to do is I try to challenge their mentalities. I try to challenge how they think. What I have learned is that a lot of our students, they shy away from having their mentalities challenged. And so what I try to do is I try to put the ball back into their court.
Right.
I try to get them to take that responsibility and that accountability piece. And because if they don't do it, nobody else will.
Right, exactly.
So I try to get them to understand that hey, you know, if you can't be an advocate for yourself or if you can't handle this accountability piece or this responsibility piece, you're setting yourself up for a long life of excuses and some complaining.
I think that's an interesting way to look at it because you can look at someone and say, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change. They're never going to change until that comes from within. So
absolutely.
Very, very interesting. We'll talk more this morning with Mr. Torres Leach. He is a guidance counselor at Hickory Public Schools. More First Talk right after.
First Talk with Hal Rowe on WHKY Talk Radio for the Greater Hickory Metro. Our guest this morning, Mr. Torres Leach. He is a guidance counselor in your Hickory Public School System. And Beverly Snowden, Director of Communications with your Hickory Public Schools. Always nice to see you. You're such a cheerleader and just a tremendous amount of restraint this morning from just jumping up and cheering this morning when we were talking about Hickory Public Schools.
Waving my arms.
I know. I really appreciate it. I really do. Thank you very much for that. But something that I know that you wanted to bring up this morning, and you asked me during the break, said maybe make folks aware of this, and that's that Mr. Leach, and certainly not by design, but just the position was open in the way that it happened.
Sure.
Mr. Leach, a gentleman of color, mm-hmm. and also a gentleman, male gender, very important to the school system because he is the only.
He is the only minority in our guidance department.
Wow.
And he's an African-American man, a gentleman. As you can tell by even hearing him speak, he's charming, he's educated, he's just such a nice man. And the children who are minority representation, whether African-American, Latino, Hispanic, Asian, it gives them someone in the guidance department, a man of color, so that they can come and identify with him. And it's and he has said, yes, the students have come to him because there is a comfort there.
I was going to ask you, does that make a difference?
It does. Yes, sir. I wholeheartedly think that if there's somebody in your building that looks like you, walks like you, talks like you, can identify with you on that cultural level, I think it does give a great sense of comfort. And I not purposely go out and seek out those students. I make myself open to everybody,
right.
But I
M
do
through Q.
Yes, everybody M through Q. But sometimes
everybody, right?
But sometimes it's for everybody in
everybody,
the building,
right?
Staff,
and somebody,
students, whoever.
And I was kind of saying that in a kidding kind of way. But if there was somebody whose last name is not, but comes to you and says, "Hey, you're somebody I can talk to," you know, you're a little bit younger, you know, as compared to, I'm sure, to some of the folks, you know, me or some of the other folks, you look a little bit more. I feel like I can, and that relationship building that you're talking about, I can certainly understand.
Absolutely,
that. You have so much to do. We were talking about it. Ms. Snowden was talking about some of the academic things that you were taking a look at. I know from sitting in this chair and talking with folks that you are also very involved with helping people with internships and helping with guidance. Guidance counselors, when I was growing up, that's where you went when you had a problem and you needed maybe a shoulder to cry on, mm-hmm. or somebody to kind of give you some help,
yes, sir,
navigating things. But you do a lot. Give me a general idea of what you do with an individual student or in your day. Because, well, let's not do that because it would take
and
the rest
of... He's smiling from ear to ear because he knows that list is long.
But you do... all of these things. Tell me some of the things that are important to you when you're meeting a student maybe for the first time or as you continue to work with a student. Some of the things that you consider paramount that you really want to work with a student on and make sure that's taken care of,
yes,
with
sir,
that student.
If a student comes to my office or if I call a student down to my office, I make sure that time is for that student and for that student only. I try my best to one-on-one with that student to help build that rapport. And how I build that rapport, it could be something as simple as I see a student in my office with an Appalachian State shirt on.
Right.
I use that shirt to create that bond.
Right.
And then we go from there. I try to be as empathetic. I try to listen. I try to give them every experience that I might have had that can help them with theirs. I even give them other people in the building that they might can go talk to.
Right.
So
that's
I try
the relationship building, mm-hmm. part.
Absolutely.
Of it. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yes,
now,
sir.
How about the bricks and mortar, if you will, the things that you have to do? Because Ms. Snowden was telling me one of the things that's very important to you is to make sure that you have the ascertainment for graduation. Is you want to make sure that, hey, wait, we got to get another science in. You're talking to a junior. It's like,
yes.
Oh, we're lacking a couple,
yes,
things here.
Yes.
So that's one of the things that you do is review a student's record and make sure that everything is where it needs, mm-hmm. to be.
As of right now, I'm thinking when I get back to here,
right.
I have a stack of senior transcripts that I still have to go through. And I go through those with a fine-tooth comb because once I go to Ms. Tuttle and say, hey, these seniors are okay,
and Ms. Tuttle's our principal,
yes,
at Hickory,
right,
High.
And she's doing a fantastic job.
We love her.
Yes. But if I tell her that that's okay, she's going to take my word that I've gone through these.
That's your
what
job.
What I cannot,
right,
have is graduation time come and we go back through these again and I see that there's a student in my alphabet that I told her was okay who's now missing a science credit.
Accountability.
Falls back onto me.
Mm-hmm.
So I never want to put a student's I never want to put their graduation in jeopardy off a mistake that I might have made. So I make sure that I do that immediately.
What's the conversation like now when someone comes to you and they're in your office and y'all are talking and they say, you know, I really want to be a professional athlete because I'm here. A few years back, it was a, for a while it was a marine biologist, and there for a while it was a medical examiner, and I think it's what's on TV.
CSI,
right, at the time. So some of that, and a great career, don't get me wrong, but when someone comes to you, and or maybe they say, I want to be a physician, and you take a look at the transcripts and you see that the sciences is just not where their area, or maybe you take a look and see that, oh, athletics, maybe maybe a coach, maybe, what's that conversation like when you're trying to build someone and not take away their dream, but trying to help with a direction where they may be more successful? I would think that that nuanced conversation with students would have to be one of the most difficult parts of the job.
As a former coach, you know, I try to get my student athletes to have the realistic expectations. You know, if you're 5'8" and you might not have started for your team at all, you have minimum stats, you're probably not going to go play ball at Clemson.
Right.
So, you know, I try to put it into perspective to where I'm not a dream killer, but it's more of challenging that mentality to find some obtainable goals and some obtainable dreams. You know, coming out of high school, I wasn't the biggest guy. I was a pretty fast kid, but I knew that Florida State wasn't going to be a place that I was going to go play football at.
Right.
So what I try to do with my students is I look at their transcripts, I look at their GPAs, or I, with my student athletes, I can look at their potential, and I can have that conversation with them and sit them down and say, okay, all right, you give me your wish list of schools.
Right.
We'll look at your list of schools, and then we will dissect this particular list based off of what your SAT score, ACT score, GPA, all those things are combined. And then we can strike through what is obtainable, and then we can go with what we think that we cannot do.
Right. So that's got to be, I would think that, you know, you do that. You're talking about being a coach and being a ball player, but also someone wants to be a physician and go to that academic track.
Absolutely.
You got to take a look and say, wait a minute, you know, let's take a look at some other options, because maybe academia is not really where you need to be. Mm-hmm. You can have a great life. You can have a great, and I see that you do very well, and you name it.
Right.
But you have to be able to do that. You really have to be able to dig into these files, into these students. It's much more than it's much more than a numbers thing.
Absolutely.
You actually have to go in and get to know somebody.
It's about passion. I try to tell my students that come to me and they have no clue what they want to do. The first question that I ask them is, what makes you smile?
Right.
What is something that when you sit down and you take time to yourself and you open up whatever it is that you're doing, does that bring you a sense of enjoyment? If it does, then maybe that is something that you can make a career field out of. I had a student recently who says, I love taking care of my younger sibling, but she had no clue of what field she wanted to go. I said, well, maybe about the helping field.
Right.
Maybe since you like to help people and you like to take care of people, maybe we can start by looking into the helping field, and then we can work our way from that.
Right, exactly. So obviously you have a great deal of joy in doing this yourself.
Absolutely.
How long have you been with the school, sir?
I have been in the school system for eight years.
8 years now.
Yes,
and Hickory High, you've been...
This is my first year.
First year at Hickory
High.
My third week.
This is only his third week with us at Hickory High.
Yes, it is.
God bless your heart. I didn't realize it had just been 3 weeks because I'm you did really great with these questions.
Thank you, sir.
For 3 weeks as a counselor. But I'm thinking that with what you do as in a counseling position makes such an impact on young folks. I mean, don't get me wrong, educators, I know that that's in the administration, everybody plays a role. But when you're talking about sitting down one-on-one and talking with a kid, talking with a young person about where their life is heading, trying to help them maybe with the things that they've got going on at home. You know, maybe they come to school hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've got abusive parents.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they've got a drug and alcohol problem. Any of the problems, you know, that they
And that's
that
very
they,
real, Hal.
Oh, yeah.
It does. It goes on in every community.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'll just throw out this. I know we're towards the end, but this is Bullying Prevention Month. This is a key time for our counselors, especially Mr. Leach, in working with his students, helping them get through that, but also teaching others not to be a participant in bullying.
And we got seconds left, so we'll get you back on sometime.
Yes, sir.
And help us with that. How
thank
about
you
that?
So much,
thank you.
I want to thank you very much this morning, Mr. Torres Leach, this morning. And it's Timur.
Tamayer.
Yes, Mr. Tamayer Leach. It goes by Torres Leach. Thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Three
so much,
weeks.
So
you really got it down.
Professional all the way.
And Beverly Stone, we want to thank you very much. Director
Always.
Of Communications, Hickory Public Schools, first part of a 3-part series as we get to know educators in your Hickory Public School System.
Thank you.
First talk on the way.